Morning, everybody. Good to see our little Christian growing in the Lord. That's your new nickname, little Christian. All right. Sam, it's good to have you home. We've missed you. And we know you really want to go back to college. You come home and you get to eat mom's cooking. That's a lot better than what you're cooking, right? Okay, well, we're glad you're here. We have a lot of folks traveling. I think I counted four couples, and I know we've got three or four that are sick, but we're here today, and we're happy, and it's good to see everybody. And I hope everyone who's here today is encouraged and strengthened. You know, we live in a world that measures things differently than the way we ought to. We measure things by results rather than by effort. We measure things by what they look like rather than what they are. One of my favorite thoughts is from a Tolkien book. It says, "All that glitters is not gold." And if we were to look at the church, and specifically this church, what would we say? The world would probably look at us as a small group of people that don't have a whole lot of influence, don't have a whole lot going for them. You don't have a big band set up with a big sound. You don't have a preacher who pounds the pulpit hard enough. You don't have blah, 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 whatever the religious world is throwing out there these days. But this morning, I want to remind us of some of the good things that we have at this congregation. You know, let's go back over to Revelation chapter 3. And I want to remind you that there are things written to multiple congregations in Revelation. They're types. And when I think of this congregation, I often think of the church in Philadelphia. Chapter 3 verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." I think we should look at congregations and evaluate them differently than how big they are, or how many programs they have, or how big their youth group is. We need to look at things through Christ's mind. You know, this morning we spent a lot of time in Bible class talking about getting our minds right. And one of the things I think we need to get our minds right about is the church. The church needs to be measured by whether we keep the word. The church needs to be measured by whether we're denying Christ or whether we're promoting Him. The church needs to be defined by our love for one another. Those things are more important than how many programs we have, or how big our attendance is, or what size our contribution is. I understand why some of those metrics might be important to people. I interestingly read this past week that a religious body in our world is no longer requiring proselytizing metrics to be captured. There's a group that would send folks out, and they would have to come back and write a report on what kind of proselytizing hours they did this week. They're dropping that. I just thought, as Christians, we are always proselytizing. Wherever we go, wherever we walk, we need to be displaying Christ and showing His light. One of the things I love about this congregation is we love the Word here. And we love preachers who are sound and who bring things to us that help us in our walk. You know, I miss Dana. Dana did a great job for us for a number of years. But I want to say the men that have fulfilled this pulpit since he left have really done a fantastic job. I've heard from diverse people perspectives about God that I would have never heard of, especially about ethnic cleansing. I still laugh about that one. Go back and listen to Mickey's sermon on that example. But we've had men up here that, and note, we've had men up here. Just throwing that out there. We've had men up here from different walks of life. We've had a patrolman. We've had a corporate executive. We have a shipping magnate. I'm going to call Travis a shipping magnate. Okay. We've had men up here who speak the word. We've had a longtime preacher, and he's going to come back and speak for us starting next month on Fourth Sundays. We've had different men up here bring the word of God from their experiences, and they've all given us sound doctrine, and they've given us proper application, and you have accepted them and encouraged them and greeted them. And I'm very appreciative for that. Another thing that I very much appreciate about this congregation is that we have a strong sense of family. You know, that prayer list in the bulletin doesn't grow because we don't care. It grows because we love one another. It grows because we have family and friends we care about. It grows because we want to raise people before God. And I, for our, the size of this congregation, I'd say our knees ought to be worn out by now for all the people that we're praying for. But don't grow weary in that. That's a good work. It's something that we need to continue to do. And a sense of family produces that. Almost everybody knows one another here, and if you don't, you're introducing yourself. I saw Mindy talking to Bill this morning. That was pretty good. See, I just slipped that right in there. Okay. We almost everyone know everyone. And we miss folks when they're gone. That's why we're so happy Sam's back with us. We miss folks when they're dealing with things. That's why we're so glad that Carol is back home. We've prayed very hard about her situation. And we're glad to hear she's on the mend. Go with me over to Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. The scripture says there, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and to the younger women as sisters in all purity." I don't know about you, but that passage speaks to me as one of a family. It's how we deal with one another, what our relationships are. And we have developed family relationships in the Lord here. We want to know what's going on with one another, not because we're busybodies, not because we're gossips, because we genuinely care. And we want to know where we can help and when we can help. One's absence from our family is felt keenly here. We care about each one. You know, in some congregations, you can go there and people slip in the back and slip out and you never see them. Or you sit on one side of the building and you don't ever talk to people on the other side of the building. I've heard of congregations where two people work together at a large corporation and they went to that church, they never talked to one another, and then realized that later on, oh, I go to the same church as you do. You know, we don't have that problem here. If you're in the door here, we know who you are, and you know who we are. And I think that's a good thing. One of the things that family does when things are going on with one another is we share our struggles. We are brethren who take notice when we begin to show signs of problems. Maybe there are things going on in your family. Maybe you're having difficulties economically. Maybe your walk in the Lord is not as strong as it ought to be. We struggle with you, and we try to work with you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, even if one is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." I've seen people here help others with their burdens many, many, many times. I've had my own burdens helped. I think it's important that we have that family relationship so that we can be effective in that work. You know, a lot of congregations measure their greatness in the size of their children's groups. But I would tell you that our children get something that those groups don't get. They get to cross generational lines with others in this congregation. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Anthony and, and Andrew, and now even Amy, outside playing with Jennings or playing with Mickey, right? They cheat, yes. We're going to talk about that. Yes, they do cheat. I think I've heard they like make up the rules as they go along. So, they get to interact with people. They get to interact with you, and they get to know you. They get a different understanding of the church than just from a child's perspective. Our children relate to others besides those that are their peers. And we get encouraged by that. When you saw Anthony come up here for the first time to do a reading, I think I saw some tears on a few eyes. That's because you were going to do it so bad. It was good to see that. Mickey and McCaden, we went through the same thing with you. Sam's kind of a leader of this group. So that's something that's important to us here. Our children are very important to us. We take care of one another in the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." Verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another." I see that same mindedness here. When we come in these doors, the world and its cares are gone. We focus on one another. Yes, we talked about how the Buckeyes beat Alabama yesterday. We talked about things that are going on in each other's lives. But it's always with the idea that we're serving one another in the Lord. I can't tell you of a congregation that I've been in before with such a strong sense of brotherly love. And I appreciate the preference that's given to one another here. We need to continue that work. We need to continue praying hard. We need to continue loving one another. The world will know us as Christians by our love. Show that light to others. You know, the church's goal as a family is to follow the Lord together. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 says, "Peter began to say to him, 'Behold, we have left everything and followed you.' Jesus said, 'Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will not receive 100 times as much now as in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with the persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. As a family, we work very hard to be the fulfillment of that passage. I have mothers and fathers that I would have never understood if I was not part of the church. I have brothers and sisters that I would have never had if I wasn't part of the church. I have people who care about me, and you have people who care about you because of our family relationship. These are blessings that God has given to us, and it allows us, because we have the blessings of family, to overcome in this world. We're able to overcome the persecutions that we have out in the world. We come together and we understand that we're safe together. We understand that we can get encouragement and love, that other people are praying for us. We understand that we're headed the right place, and it's our responsibility to help others get there too. I think I've told you before that both of my son-in-laws, when they asked me about my daughters to be married, the thing that I asked them both was, how are you going to help to get them to heaven? Because that's your responsibility. It's not just a husband-wife relationship. It's a relationship where you help others get to heaven, and in this case, your spouse. We have a responsibility towards one another here to help one another get to heaven. What are you doing to help other people out? What has been done for you? Can you remember those good things? Because of that great family relationship, we need to not rest on our laurels. We need to continue to nurture that sense of family. We need to provide opportunities for spiritual fellowship. We need to individually provide opportunities for hospitality. It's important for us to work together to try to bring each other together in the Lord and to work in that direction. Those opportunities can be many. You know, they don't have to be all coming out of the men's meeting. Maybe that's where we work on it and figure out the details. But you can give opportunities for spiritual fellowship to brothers and sisters here that you just talked to. Come on over to the house. There's an idea for spiritual fellowship. How good is it for brothers and sisters to come together? You know, I have a friend here that he'll come in and he feels comfortable enough, he can just go right to my fridge. His wife's not real happy about that. You come into your house and you have that kind of friendship. You need to do that, and it helps us in our walk in the Lord. We need to nurture it and fulfill the needs that we have. We have lots of needs here: serving in public worship, teaching in Bible classes. We have things where we need to maintain the building. We have works that we do where we go to Harlem Township Days. We have works that we do with sending out house to house, heart to heart. We have many things that we do here. We need to encourage that and look for more opportunities. We need to serve, encourage, and enrich one another. We need to keep that in our minds as a task. And we need to look for those opportunities to grow. If you have the capability to serve in a certain way, take somebody, mentor somebody, train them, help them in that work. Raise them up. We need to utilize everybody. And trust me, I try to utilize everybody I can here, especially in leading public worship, right? But there's more that we can utilize people for. Everybody should have a job, and everybody should work on that and be training somebody else as their backup. I'm appreciative for the many different people here who serve in so many different ways. And I know that your hearts are and minds are bent that direction. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, this passage is primarily talking about preachers, but there are things that have been entrusted to all of us. And we need to entrust those things to them. We need to be able to teach others about what we do and why we do it. We need to be able to work together and grow in the Lord. One of the greatest things about this congregation is we take our responsibilities to serve seriously. The Lord expects us to grow, and we seek to do that here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 says, He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Okay, we're small. Big things come out of small things. I don't know when the growth is going to come. God's the one who provides the increase. I know I have to be faithful. And I know that God can take a small mustard seed and make something big out of it. But just remember, big is not always better. Big is not the goal. Continued faithfulness and service to God. Continued shining the light in this community. Continued presenting the gospel to others. Continued helping our family grow and reach heaven. Those are the goals we should be looking at. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more. God wants us to grow. God wants us to be attached to Him. That's where our growth comes from. And I expect that we will work together to continue to try to grow here, to grow in the Lord, to grow in this community, to make sure that people in this community understand that the Word is taught and valued here. I also know that there are some who struggle with their growth, who struggle with their family relationships, whether it be here or outside. I know that there are some who struggle with their sin. And I want you to understand that we as a congregation want to help you in any way that we can. God gives us so many good gifts. And He wants you to be part of His family. This morning, if we can help you with your struggles or if you need to put on Christ in baptism, we would love to assist you. And we'd love to make you part of this family. Please come while we stand and sing.